time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Well, if you ever had a question as to how much political divide there is in this country, I am sure that has been answered in the past many days, friends. All eyes were on Judge Brett Kavanaugh in his possibilities of getting to the Supreme Court and Christine Blasey Ford. Or was it really Brett Kavanaugh versus the system? It's a big story, friends. It's explosive, and there's a lot to that we'll talk about today. Also, a lot more in the news. Rod Rosenstein is called to testify privately to Congress next week. We'd want to get behind what's going on that. Have you been following these stories, potentially in Venezuela? Amazing, really, to me. Maduro, the chief dictator in charge there, came out and has requested a meeting with President Trump. Now, that's pretty eye-opening. You got to remember there was that coup attempt a while back. Let's talk about that just ahead, and you're going to find Venezuela is a very interesting area with what will happen. A senior Iranian security official threatens Israel. We'll talk about that. And did you see this news again? Facebook, if you use Facebook now, they've been breached again. 50 million users' data are at risk, friends. It's unbelievable, really. So we've got that. We've got a panel discussion on the congressional hypocrisy at its finest. This is going to be very interesting. We've got some very interesting players on that segment. And then we'll take a really deep dive into who's credible, Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh. Well, the story goes, you must first know what forensically constitutes credible. Well, we'll do that just ahead. Let's get to the top stories here, friends, and welcome on Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. He's a retired police detective. His background in investigations, forensics, psychological profile, and in human factors in violent crimes and death scene investigations is often why he's referred to the expert's expert. Dr. Ron has a show called A Thread of Evidence that's heard at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud. He's a columnist here and a national voice on these topics. Joining us as well, Ilana Friedman is a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. As you know, Ilana trained in Israel. She focuses on the impact of terrorism and its threat to America and the West. And she is a brilliant columnist as well on America Out Loud. You've got to follow both of these players, my friends. And so let's get right to it here. So again, I kind of call it this way, guys, Kavanaugh versus Ford or Kavanaugh versus the system. So the Congressional Judiciary Committee hearings on Thursday was unbelievable. I mean, it was really heard around the world, and it was the most watched ever. I mean, it was truly, truly amazing. And it was really high seas, high drama, what have you. Now, the committee the day after voted 11 to 10 on party lines to move on a floor vote conditional on FBI review of background checks within 7 days. And this was all because Senator Flake made a deal with the Democrats at the last minute. Now, here's what I get that's really odd about this. Ilana, let me start with you and get your take on this. Here's what I find very unique about this, Ilana. All right, for days and days and days, the Democrats were pushing to get this FBI investigation. Now, he's already been investigated 6 times, as we know, but they want another one again. And that's what they were pushing for, and it was declined at every turn. And Chairman Grassley, to me, it was a bit of a sabotage at the last minute where Jeff Flake got into a room and made this deal. And they really accomplished everything they wanted just within that one quick backdoor meeting, Ilana. What gives here?
Well, I think that the inquisition that we witnessed against Judge Kavanaugh was an assault on everything that's good in our country. It was really a frontal attack on our Constitution and on our culture. Worse than that, it has not only irreparably damaged the lives of a good man and his family, it has virtually overnight turned America into a banana republic. Mm-hmm. No more trial by jury, no more innocent until proven guilty, no more right to face one's accuser. Instead, it's trial by mob, guilt by allegation, sentencing by public opinion. From the beginning, I believe this has been a conspiracy on the part of the Democrats to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump. The Dems the Dems, the Democrats, I have other words for them, but never mind, on the Judiciary Committee have disgraced themselves completely and turned the rule of law on its head. In my view, this is a very, very dark moment in America. The sides have been drawn, and I believe the Inquisition of Judge Kavanaugh is quite possibly the very first major salvo in a new civil war in America.
Wow, that is some analysis, I'll tell you. I've never heard you be so blatant and so precise and sort of cloudy a little bit on the forecast. That's amazing, Ilana.
Very cloudy on the forecast. Look, we have seen so many... actions in the street already, but they've been haphazard and they've been sort of dependent on the news cycle. This is something that was calculated, it was planned, and they did a tremendous job of strategically aligning themselves so that whatever happened, they were back with a response.
And
the Republicans did not do that.
Okay, all right. So, Dr. Ron Martinelli, listen, so a couple things I take away from what Ilana sets there. When she uses the word, and I haven't heard that in a while, the Banana Republic comment, that my mind started to think immediately, Ron, and I started to think, well, what does that really mean? Well, okay, so let's take a look at that, Ron. But really what that means is you're guilty before you're innocent to me. There are a couple of factors here, Ron. Number one, she mentioned also Donald Trump being that was the target, and that may be for part of it, but I think there's even something bigger, and it's called Roe versus Wade, abortion. That's really, to me, what's brought everybody out on this story, and it's got them, you know, they're frothing at the mouth here, Ron, because of legalized abortion, I think, is really the catalyst. Now, you add Trump into the mix, and now you've got really a pot soup here. What do you think about this comment about Banana Republic? And we've been talking for a while now about, listen, not to be a wise guy here, but are we going down the road of a civil war? Because things have been getting so off track here.
Well, I think if I was an American listening to this show this morning, I'd be pretty concerned. And let me tell you why I'd be concerned, because you have someone with Ilana Friedman's background in comparison to mine, which is a law enforcement and forensic background. And I couldn't have said it better than Ilana just said it. You know, we in the United States, we have these things called the Bill of Rights, and these are civil rights, and they are constitutionally protected for everybody within the confines of the United States and its territories. And one of those most important civil rights is found in the Fifth Amendment. And that is one of due process. But we also have, under that amendment, the right not to provide testimony against oneself and the presumption of innocence. And I have never seen such a blatant violation of Judge Kavanaugh's constitutional rights. And I 100% agree with Ilana. We are becoming a rule of mobs, okay, or you know, things are being ruled, as she said, by mob law or mob rule. It was a complete denial of the due process and the presumption of innocence. And after taking a pretty thorough look at this as an investigator who's investigated, you know, sexual assaults on numerous occasions, I see absolutely nothing here. Nothing.
Interesting.
Not one shred of corroborated or forensically supported evidence here. I think it's all made up.
Right. Well, listen, let me tell folks now that Dr. Ron, this is his wheelhouse right here that we're talking about here. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. Dr. Ron is going to join us again at the end of this show, and we're going to have, he has an amazing column up on the network right now, and you'll see it right up there if you go to AmericaOutloud.com, friends. Who's credible? Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh? You must first know what forensically constitutes credible. And to me, it's a brilliant column, but it's a hell of a read, and it will make you pause, no matter what your, I think, political stripe is, and give you pause to really understand. When you combine that with the talk we just had with Ilana and Ron, I think you'll come away scratching your head. We're going to do a deep dive with that, Dr. Ron, later in the program. Let's continue on with the top stories here, friends. I want to talk to you both about Rod Rosenstein. Congress just called him to testify privately this next week, and he actually said he would be there, because there were threats. Meadows came out, Mark Meadows is our I recall, and said he would subpoena him, and they were going to get nasty about it. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, Ilana, we've talked quite a bit about Rod Rosenstein back and forth, but things seem to be getting... Now, the president delayed his meeting one-on-one with him. This is coming back to his potential gag or joke, if it was one, about impeaching the president of the 25th Amendment and or removing him from office to be unfit or what have you. What do you think becomes of this?
We don't really know all the things that are going on here. But what I am interested in is it's the Republicans who have called him in, and they are looking for a what they call a meeting, not a hearing, and not an interview. They've been very precise about it, and they want to talk to him about his comment, not only the ones you mentioned, but also the rather bizarre comment that he, you know, maybe should put a wire on the president and record everything he says in their meeting. And that is something that is so far beyond the pale of what is acceptable.
My interest in the whole Rosenstein matter is whether or not he was in abeyance of constitutional protections with regards to the FISA warrant and, you know, probable cause to establish continuing the warrant, allegedly signing off on a warrant absent probable cause, and perhaps making or at least colluding with deceptive comments by the affiance on that search warrant to a magistrate who actually is the person that continues the warrant. So I want to see how they get to the bottom of that and how that's resolved. And then for me, once that's resolved, the other stuff is political.
And well, it almost always is political. And here's the other thing about it, Dr. Ron, is folks, I mean, really believe Rosenstein should recuse himself again because he's so involved with all this Comey stuff and everything else. He's made decisions on this. I mean, if Sessions recused himself, why is Ron? I mean, at this point, I think we should give it to the janitor on floor number 3, potentially. He could probably do a better job of handling this whole Russia investigation. But, you know, I don't see how Rosenstein stays empowered to be the one who's heading up Mueller. I want you to think about that, people. You know, that's another piece of this thing, which, I mean, am I right or wrong? Quickly, Ron, is there a point make there or not?
Oh, no, you're making a great point. And, you know, this points to what's happening on the 7th floor of the Bureau, which is where their administrative offices are and all these guys hang out. Okay?
Exactly.
And if you go back over everything that we've seen, McCain and Strzok and all these people, these are all 7th floor people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the investigation has to surround itself with any evidence of political motivation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or support of a democratic or leftist ideology. And we can't have that in the Department of Justice. We, at the Department of Justice, those investigators are supposed to be blind investigators. They're supposed to be dispassionate, independent reviewers and investigators. And if it shows like it's continually showing that there's an agenda here, then I've got a real problem with that because it destroys the integrity of the FBI.
That's well said, man. It really comes back again to what we talked about when we started this program, blind justice, as we call it, but really the political divide of the country. My point being this, people, there's an incredible political divide, which you've seen with the Supreme Court fight, but there's political dividers everywhere, which is what Ilana said, opening up, actually, that potentially we are on the verge of the civil war we've been kind of, you know, talking about and jostling towards, sadly. I don't know what's going to become of this. But listen, we're going to try to make sense of this and weave through this information here. Dr. Ron, let me stay with you a minute as we talk about it. I've been really fascinated with this next story. What's going on is it's so bad in Venezuela, people, that they can't even go out and buy a roll of toilet paper. And I'm not kidding you, because I have friends who UPS who have to mail down. Not that there's a UPS down there, but whatever delivery courier they use, probably a pigeon courier, I don't know. But they have to send just basic necessities down, people, like toilet paper, napkins, I mean, anything at all that you need. It's really, really bad. So in a speech in the United Nations, President Trump spoke about the tragedy ongoing in Venezuela. It's been coming pretty hot here. Now, very interesting turn here. The dictator in charge there, Maduro, has requested a meeting with President Trump. Now, you got to remember, people, it's known around the world that President Trump is willing to meet with anybody. That's been very, very clear. But never has a leader of Venezuela in recent times been wanting to meet with this president. That's number one piece of evidence I find very interesting. We had that military coup potentially a few weeks back, Ron, where they got sent some drones in and they almost tried to take him out, and many people were hoping they did. There's talk that the military leaders have been meeting with the Venezuela military leaders have been meeting with our leaders here in the United States. And so there's been talk about that as well, which is very interesting. What do you make of this, Dr. Ron Martinelli? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's one of two things. There's either an internal coup attempt to, you know, to assassinate him, or it's an external coup attempt to assassinate him. So I know that everybody is, you know, speculating that the United States had something to do with this. I don't know. But I will tell you what I think is notable. If Maduro is approaching Trump, mm-hmm. he's really concerned That's of right. his survivability That's and right. the survivability of his regime. And I think he wants to work out some sort of deal with President Trump.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You just pinned it right there. You pinned the whole thing. Ilana, so, I mean, what do you think about this story in Venezuela? You and I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. What's your take?
Well, my take is that Venezuela is in going downhill very, very fast. Mm-hmm. It is all the fault of Maduro and his predecessor, Hugo Chavez, who really have driven this country right into the ground. And they are now running at 200,000% inflation. Minimum wage went up the other day, I think 3,000%, something. There are no jobs, there's no money, there's no food, there's no medicine. Things like rice and antibiotics, as far apart as they are equally distinguished by their absence. There is no food. So people are trying to escape from the country, and they're crowding against the borders, and neighboring countries don't want to let them in anymore. So you've got a disaster in the making, and it is it's going to be something terrible. So the question is, what's going to happen next? Yeah. Maduro has sort of talked about a conversation with Trump, but he's also slammed Trump on many occasions.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side, there was a report that there was a secret mm-hmm. meeting in Washington right. earlier in right. September between U.S. officials and military mm-hmm. people from
right.
Venezuela who
yeah,
wanted to...
Yeah, I've seen that.
I can remember going back about 10 years ago where Venezuela was being touted in retirement magazines as one of the places
That's
to
it.
Retire.
That's it.
And I know we've got a lot of American mm-hmm. Retirees that moved down there.
Well, let me tell you right now that people are leaving Venezuela by the thousands and thousands. So I don't know that there are many retirees down there anymore, but your point is well taken, Ron, that it's changed a lot. Listen, I just want to leave people with this thought. Pray for the people of Venezuela, because we don't know what's going to happen there. But please, everybody, take a moment and pray for those people of Venezuela. As Ilana just said, something hot is going to happen. Sadly, the worst is yet to come there. Ilana, I want to talk to you about Iran and Israel, please.
Well, the latest is that Israel and Iran had a sparring match in the United Nations this past week. Israel, I think, came out very, very strongly and said that the speaker was Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, and he came out and said unequivocally that they will not tolerate any attack from Iran, and should Iran attack them, the consequences would be cataclysmic for them. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Iran came and said pretty much the same thing about Israel. They don't like the fact that Israel is bombing their assets in Syria, but Israel is doing that from the point of view that it needs to be protected, because many of these missiles are pointed at Israel, and this is something Israel can't tolerate. So this is a back and forth right now. These threats are growing in their ferocity. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything happening immediately unless there is a triggering event that could come from outside, like from Russia or mm-hmm. from Turkey. Something we're not expecting.
We all need to pray for Israel. I want to talk to you about the last top story here, friends, and that is Facebook. Lastly here in our lead stories here, this 50 million users. You know, Dr. Ron, we're seeing this more and more and more where these outlets, these social media outlets are being hacked big time. They're a target. Clearly, they're a target. But the worst part about it is they have all the sensitive private information of all the millions and millions and millions of users who have trusted them. What I get on the street is a lot of people are leaving Facebook by the droves here and are really fed up with the company, that they're not doing enough and putting their efforts in billions of dollars to protect their users' data. This is the next front. This is cyber warfare is the next front that we're facing here. But what do you think of this latest with Facebook, Ron?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a Facebook site, a couple of Facebook sites, but I minimize everything that I do on Facebook. I don't even carry it on my phone like a lot of people do.
Exactly.
I'm so concerned about that. I don't put private data on Facebook, you know, dates of birth or, you know, places of residence or, you know, anything like that, because it's so easily hacked. Don't forget, we're dealing with corporate entities that are not going to invest the money in infrastructure and cybersecurity. If the United States government can be so easily breached numerous times, you know that these private organizations are going to be just as easily, if not more easily, breached, because it's about profit and not about infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, people, again, remember now, everything we do is online. And when I say that, I'm talking even your electricity, your water supply, top line security, privacy, infrastructure. Everything is online. And think about this. Is that a real benefit for ease and use of human consumption? Or have we bit off something we shouldn't have because now we are totally exposed to all of these lunatics who are circling the planet? There's something there that leaves me, for one, very, very, very unsettled. Ilana, last quick comment on Facebook, please. What do you think about this?
These are people who have known about this issue for many years.
Exactly.
And they have ignored it at the expense of their own subscribers. And I think that this is something that is really unforgivable, because this is going to hurt people.
There you go.
This is a terrible, terrible thing, and they are culpable.
The lesson here is be careful, people. Please be careful what you put out there. Put no private information whatsoever. Turn your tracking off. Be very sensitive. I'm telling you, it's a big deal ahead. If you think it's not, it could come back to be a real problem for you down the road here. And don't discount anything, but be very sensitive to what you put online, please, for your benefit, for your life, your family, and the whole bit here. Well, listen, Dr. Ron will join us later in the program with this. You got to hear this, what we're going to talk about here. Again, we'll get into very interesting. Nobody's talking about what we're going to talk about, which is first understanding what forensically constitutes credible in this. Again, Judge Kavanaugh versus Dr. Ford. We'll talk about that in a big way. Got a stellar panel coming up right now. Big thank you to Dr. Ron Martinelli and Ilana Friedman here. Stay right there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let's get to our panel discussion now and talk about this congressional hypocrisy at its finest. Got a lot to talk about in this segment, friends. Please welcome on here Del Wilbur. Del is a former CIA and Department of Defense intelligence and counterterrorism officer. With a focus on technical and human intelligence collection activities, Del is a weekly columnist right here at America Out Loud, friends. His latest column, Through the Looking Glass, Kavanaugh in Wonderland. Also joining us on the show here in our discussion here is Stacy Barth. Stacy served in the United States Air Force. She was a computer programmer for the military. She was a candidate for governor of California and often finds herself in Sacramento and D.C. as a political activist. And don't we all need to be one these days, huh? All right, so let's get right to it. Dale, I want to start with you on this and talk about these hearings. And, you know, again, if you questioned whether or not there was a divide in our country, it was clearly showcased with what happened with Kavanaugh and Ford in those hearings. I mean, you could hear a pin drop at some point in there, but the political divide was showcased like never before. Why all the drama, Del Wilber?
You know, this is, boils down to protecting abortion, for one thing, and certainly they're concerned about the Supreme Court taking a more conservative direction, and so they certainly are absolutely opposed to that, and they're going to do this comes down to them wanting to do everything they can to oppose this country getting back onto the path that it should be on, and away from the socialist agenda that it's been following now for about the last 8 years or 10 years, I guess now.
Kavanaugh, you got to remember, people, he is the pivotal vote on the Supreme Court. See, the reason they didn't have as much trouble with Gorsuch and that was able to get through, he was not the swing vote. This is now the swing vote. And, of course, this is a big moment for the court. And you got to remember the power of the Supreme Court, people. It's more powerful in most ways than the president. They are the final word. When you think about that, Stacey, and you see about, back in 73 when Roe versus Wade became the thing, but then you look as Dale was just saying, kind of the socialist agenda that has showed its head, the movement of Bernie Sanders, the case of the universities, the Ocasio-Cortez movement up there in New York, and you see where the country has slipped to. And then you look at, not just abortion, Stacey, but you look at gay marriage, and then you look at drug use, marijuana use, making that all legal there, and you get all of this kind of happening, and now you see where the country is changing. It's changing a lot back from when I was a little boy growing up, but what do you think about this, Stacey?
Well, I think it's absolutely insane. I live in the liberal utopia of California, so we also have our great and wonderful Sacramento, and Jerry Brown they're going to make it to where illegal aliens can vote. So they really are. When I was running for governor, my big thing that I would always try to impart upon people was, it's if you remember back to when California was considering Proposition 8, where it was if gay marriage was going to be legal or not, whether you were for it or against it, it changed the definition of the word marriage. So marriage now has no definition. It is a word that exists without any meaning, because you can marry anything. People marry buildings, they're marrying animals, they're marrying multiple people. There's no definition. So, and now what they're trying to do in Sacramento is remove the definition of what it means to be an American. So citizenship has no meaning anymore. And California goes, so goes the nation, right? So on top of that, we're also opening heroin clinics. Wow. So you can freely come in and get as high as you like on heroin in private and monitored by a doctor. So if you OD, they can be there to help you. And then you can go on your way and come back the next time you need your fix. But now, again, all of this goes against federal law. But that doesn't matter, because they've had Obama for 8 years, and now because they've been able to push back for the last two, the Obama policies and the progressive socialist communist movement that is happening, and there is active communism. Mm-hmm. I confront these people constantly. Mm-hmm. Millennials are constantly pushing for socialism and communism. They do not want government, which is anarchy. And they don't want a police presence. They don't want a government at all. So they want no borders. They want no oversight. They want no protection. But yet they want to complain when people aren't protecting their rights to do anything, including having an abortion.
I mean, that just tells you right there. You listen to everything you just said, Stacey, and that should alarm everybody. I want to talk to you two next about some of this hypocrisy specifically. Here's what really gets me, and it should get all of you as well. So you have these senators now, friends, up in this hearing here, both Democrat and Republican now, all the way across. I'm talking about our political system, people. I'm not talking about one party right now. I'm talking about all of these cats. Now, these are the same people, friends, who have what's called a hush fund in Congress. Let me explain to you what this is if you don't know. I'm going to read you this from Politico. This is a perfect case. Two things have become painfully clear on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers and staffers say sexual harassment is running rampant. But even members of Congress have no idea just how widespread the problem is among their own rank and file. This is Politico people saying that. And you know where they fall. Now, it goes on to say, this has all the makings of a serious scandal. So we're talking, let me give you some numbers here, more than $17 million in public money, your taxpayer money, people, okay, just since 97 have been settled workplace disputes on Capitol Hill for sexual harassment, allegations, abuse, for guess what? Your esteemed congressmen and your senators. Dell, can you make this stuff up?
It's right out of the pages of Hollywood.
But what right do they have? What I'm trying to get to, Dale, is how can they sit there and tell us they're worried about this 17-year-old back in high school that might have had some incident with a woman who has, and just look at her past and look at her makings, but forget all of that. I'm not here to insult anybody. My point is, how can they sit there? I mean, this is a guy, Dale, this is a guy who has, just look at his life track. If all of us could have the kind of life since 18 years old or 17 or 16 or whatever and be on the trajectory that this man has had, there's nothing wrong with his life history and his commitment to public service has been truly amazing. What I'm saying is you got to bring it back to a high school yearbook or back to 17 years old. But yet these cats are the same. They have more skeletons in their closet. How can they say this, Dell? Doesn't this outrage you?
Yeah, absolutely. And as far, I know that there are differing opinions on this, but as far as I'm concerned, people like Dianne Feinstein and many of the others up there are poster children for term limits. When I hear Patrick Leahy, and I've heard him a number of times over the last months, preface his statements by saying, in my 44 years on this committee, right. And when I hear that, I want to throw up because that's part of the problem. When you've got people who are in office for that many years, they have completely lost touch with the people that they're supposed to represent. They don't do any work themselves. They have aides that do all the research for them, that write the papers for them. And they hand them a document and tell them to read this in front of the cameras. I mean, that's what you've got going on here, and it absolutely maddens me that these people are in office for so many years. You know, I truly, truly support term limits. I think it's time that we start returning to the citizen legislature that we have abandoned, really.
Yeah, I think the progressivism movement in the nation is pretty loud and clear, Stacey, because again, as I say here, listen, they run our universities and our education system. They run our television networks. They run our major newspapers. Think about all of this, Stacey. They run all the social media outlets, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Googles, the YouTubes, all the way across the board. They run all of it here. It seems to me like the conservatives have been out to lunch for decades, and now they're wondering what happened. I mean, I hate to say that in such a way. It doesn't sound nice, but it is true, Stacey.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is that the progressives are running the propaganda machine. That's
right.
Exactly what it is. So every time you turn on the news, the radio, you read an article somewhere, you try to go on Facebook, you go on Twitter, and it's propaganda. That's all it is. It's one after another. And it becomes, you know, mind control over these people who don't think that they're being told something different. They don't have any way to combat what's coming at them because they have been taught that it's all real. So they don't even realize that they're being, you know, controlled by propaganda. Problem is that conservatives are conservative in nature, right? You sit in the background. You are conservative in your views. You don't want to impose upon other people. You just want to live your life. You want other people to live theirs. And we had Reagan. We rode a good wave with him. We had, you know, after a while, it was like, okay, things are good. We can go back to, like Dell said, we can raise our families. Mm-hmm. We can work and we can make America work again. We can make our families work and we can just go back to our guns and our religion and let people be people in the meantime, the progressives were pissed. Mm-hmm. So they were just like, okay, you know what? We're going to come after you while you're sitting back. And conservatives knew that people were acting certain ways, but they were like, oh, that's just them, whatever, because we believe in the Constitution. We believe in freedom. Mm-hmm. So they can freely express themselves. So we let them. And now it's when you ask people to show up, you ask people to fight back, they're still, they've gotten too comfortable on the sofa.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? That's okay. Well, I just won't watch that TV program. Well, I just won't get involved in that, and I'll just turn the channel. No, you have to get up. You have to show up because there is, as the progressives are saying, they're wanting a revolution. So our, you know, we've been comfortable because, you know, the people who are ready for it are conservatives, but are we? You know, we need to stand up and show that we have a presence.
Yeah, that's the best explanation. Because I ask that question all the time, and I never get a straight answer or an accurate answer. Best explanation I ever got as to what happened and why they sat in the back seat, and now there's a price they're paying for this. Well, that's an eye-opener, what you just said. And I think it's accurate, though, as to the way you explain it. Because if you really understand what conservatism means, in many ways it means, you know, standing up straight, minding your own business, staying out of other people's business, and, you know, smaller government, less, you know, constrictiveness on people. You know, that's really smaller government, just keeping things easy, simple, and yet we don't have that. Boy, you really explained that well. Do you think it's time for term limits, Stacey, as well?
Well, I differ with Dell on this one thing.
Yeah.
Because in the Constitution, our term limits are our elections. So our elections are every, you know, 2 to 4 years, 6 years. That right there is, that's a term limit. That is why we have elections, is to vote somebody out that you don't agree with. The problem is districting. So from my point of view, so we have redistricting happening in all states, even in California. So when the Democrats are in control, when they finally got control of California, they went ahead and started redistricting. So any areas and any pockets that were conservative, they would just redistrict them to where now it's more Democrats in there, and they would overwhelm the Republican vote. So we have a lot of redistricting going on that's constant. Pennsylvania just had a huge case about it and a huge fight about it, because when the Republicans got in, they wanted to redistrict in their favor. And the Democrats freaked out because they didn't want to lose control.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how they control the elections, is by redistricting.
Well, they're smart, Stacey. They're smart.
Isn't that what Barack Obama put Eric Holder in charge of?
Yeah.
Was redistricting?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So many things they come up. They are brilliant. I mean, you can't deny them that.
Exactly.
They are brilliant.
Exactly.
They're very devious and very evil.
Interesting.
But they are brilliant.
But also, Stacey, now stop there a minute. They're also, though, our friends, our sisters, our brothers, our neighbors, and others. And this is what really gets me about the political divide. You know what I'm saying? There's something about that that makes me uncomfortable. I got a lot of friends that are liberal that I love dearly. It's not just a shift with the Obama years. I'm going to tell everybody right. It's a shift that's been going on in the country for Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush. I mean, you have to bring it back quite a few years. You've seen this shift coming. If you mesh those and merge all those administrations together, there's not a lot of difference between them as far as I can see. I mean, they all liked big government. They all liked spending like drunken sailors. They all liked to do the kinds of things they did in building this apparatus for job security that they tend to do in Washington, D.C. After this week goes by and the FBI does whatever they're going to do, on the seventh time they've done a character background check, do you think when the evidence comes forth that Kavanaugh will get through? What do you think happens?
Well, I mean, I hope he gets through. I wouldn't bet on anything or putting anything beyond the Democrats to try to delay even more. What I suspect is going to happen is that there may be a name turn up in the investigation that they've never heard before. So then they're going to demand the opportunity to talk with that person. We've got to interview him because we've never heard his name before, and he might shed some more light on it. I mean, it's going to be an endless game because they are absolutely committed to blocking this nomination. And I don't see them giving up. The Republicans pardon my French, but they're going to have to grow a set of NADs and do something about this, because they're not standing up for the constituents that they represent. Simply as that. They're allowing themselves to be run roughshod over.
Stacey, last word. I've only got 30 seconds left. What do you think Kavanaugh, does he get through, or yes or no?
I honestly don't know. This is kind of like the election all over again. It's going to come down to, you know, wow, the 11th hour and 59 minutes, and you're just not going to know.
Wow.
One thing I do want to point out is that Feinstein is in a heated a re-election campaign, mm-hmm, against Ricardo De Leon in California,
yeah,
and he's a far left guy. So I think this was her ploy to get her name back up
well,
there, so
maybe
she can retain her seat.
But Stacey, back to term limits. I mean, what is she, 102 now or something? I mean, she should be running at this point. I mean, my golly. I mean, at some point,
well,
we said
she's better than De Leon at this point. So trust me on that one.
All right. We'll take your word for it. But back to what Del said about term limits. I don't know. Anyways, big, big thank you here. We will definitely have to have her on again. Stacey Barth, so enjoyed the interaction there. And Del Wilbur, friends, here. Well, listen, up next, who's credible, Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh?
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Try to be a voice of reason where I can, people. I don't want to be another extremist out there. There's enough of those lunatics. So let me do that right now with you in this segment here. And welcome back here, please. Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. Dr. Ron was in our top stories ahead, but as you know, he's a retired police detective and a forensic criminologist. He's got an amazing book on Black Lives Matter. You need to look that up on, just go to our bookstore at America Out Loud, or to just look up Dr. Ron at America Out Loud. You'll see all kinds of stuff about it. He's a host of Threat of Evidence, a columnist, and Dr. Ron's one of those movers and shakers out there trying to right the wrongs, as many of our patriots are on this platform, mind you. We're going to talk about that amazing column he has up on the top of AmericaOutloud.com right now, friends. It's something I said to my son the other day, Ron, that you'll never forget this moment. What you're seeing right now is history. I said to my son, I said, when you look back 10 years from now, my boy, and or 20 years from now, you're going to know that you watched this particular hearing. So sit down, get off the video game and the iPhone, please, and pay attention to what's going on here, is what I said to him, because this is a landmark moment in our nation. So you say up front here in your column there, Ron, you say this. So how can we forensically determine the credibility of Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh? Well, despite all of the political and media commentator and so-called expert commentary and posturing, it's really not all that hard to do. Well, that's what we're going to try to do here, friends, is break it down for you. All right. During the hearings, Ron, we heard Christine Blasey Ford. They were saying she's a very credible witness. Everybody was saying that. It was heard from the mountaintops because of her emotions that she brought to it. Why wasn't she very credible, or was she?
Well, you know, this is the thing that really bothers me, and especially at this level. And, you know, you did a great service to your son. I hope he pays attention to you about this bellwether moment in American history. To me, it is the darkest, one of the darkest moments, certainly in my lifetime. You know, the way that we have just completely cast aside the constitutional rights of the person who's the accused. And, you know, that being said, when people, you know, we talk about credibility, and, you know, of course, I defined it in the article. You know, what does that mean? Well, there's a couple of components to credibility, but the most important component is the veracity, the truthfulness of the person making the representations, because that's merely what those statements are. They're merely representations. I say, or I believe, that this particular thing happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Mm-hmm. That's a representation. Now, you can say that emotionally, and you can cry, and you can look distraught and be upset, but we need to cast aside the emotional aspect, because that's what the science of forensics is. The science of forensics, in part, is the recovery, collection, analysis, and documentation of circumstances, facts, and forensic evidence. And then there is an important critical period called reconciliation. And that is where we compare and contrast what the witness states in comparison to facts and forensic evidence, if any exist. And from that is born credibility, not the emotionalism, because, you know, a pathological liar can cry and look distraught. You know, let me say it this way. Look at how many spouses that reported their other spouse missing and looked so distraught in front of the police have ultimately confessed to the murder of that missing spouse. And you get what I mean.
Yeah. Well, listen, a point in case, Ron, is this. I mean, Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson also are credible when they're up on the screen. I mean, they look very credible. They seem to be
actors.
Well, of course
exactly.
They are. Yeah.
They're actors.
I mean, a lot of people have that talent. I mean, so, but what they've done is the point is they've overlooked all of this because they said she looks credible with her emotion and all. But there's a lot of background here. There's a lot of noise, very clearly, because of the stakes are so high. But this woman is an activist. She's a Democratic activist who has ties into some very interesting places. A lot of this is being unearthed right now. In fact, I see many people out there asking why there isn't a background check on her. Why isn't the FBI checking her out more and her background, her connections, and what she is and who she is and so on and so forth as to what that is. Obviously, she bought her emotional goods to the trial, whether you like it or you don't like it. And it depends, though. I think, Ron, what I'm seeing is if you believed that he was guilty before this thing started, you probably believe it now. You weren't swayed by her. I mean, whatever your principal thought is probably stayed with you, didn't it?
Well, yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. Let's talk about the FBI because, you know, the Bureau has been thrown out thousands and thousands of times, you know, by both sides and also, you know, pundits in the media. This was never the jurisdiction of the FBI. OK, even if this event had occurred, it was never the jurisdiction of the FBI because nobody had provided a foundation for the jurisdiction of the FBI so that they could come and investigate. Everything's changed now. And the reason that it's changed is because these people, both sides, gave congressional test or Senate testimony under oath. So now they're under oath. It's a federal venue, which is now the jurisdiction of the FBI. So the FBI can come in now and investigate where they had no jurisdiction before because nobody made any, you know, statements under oath. And, you know, there have been six prior background investigations with which Judge Kavanaugh in, you know, these different federal appointments that he had. And no one ever asked him this question because, and I think this is extremely important, Christina Blasey Ford had never come forth. And if we get an opportunity, I'll just go through a really quick chronology with you and point that out.
Well, I want to talk back to that chronology a minute here. All right, this incident happened 36 some odd years ago. There are so many missing pieces to the incident. I mean, and how could there not be? I mean, could anybody think back to a particular day at a particular moment? It's very difficult to do that. But what the talk here is, Ron, is that the singular incident in her life, they're saying, that it was apparently so traumatic and memorable that she repressed it until this 2012 session with her therapist, I guess. And then they said it was related to a PTSD effect that she's sort of having with the post-traumatic sort of event. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the temporal relationship. So this alleged incident happened somewhere between 1982 and 1983 when she was 15, he's 17, they're both in high school. So from 1983 to 2003, Ford says absolutely nothing. 2003, President Bush nominates Kavanaugh to the United States District Court of Appeals. She says nothing. 2004 and 5, she says nothing. He's going through confirmation in May of 2006. She says absolutely nothing. He's sworn in. She says nothing. And then from 2007 to 11, she still says nothing. But in 2012, she wakes up with one morning and she finally decides that something happened to her. She doesn't really remember exactly what happened to her or who was there. His name is never brought up in the notes of the therapist. She says there were four people there. Then she changes later to two people. So we have a lot of fogginess, a lot of memory lapses and things like that. But guess what? She talks to the therapist, but she never talks to the police. So in 2013 to 2017, she says absolutely nothing. But in 2017, she becomes an anti-Trump activist, but still says nothing. And she gets a picture taken with George Soros. And we have pictures of her, never Trump, all of these types of pictures where she comes out public. It isn't until just recently, until just 3 months before the Senate subcommittee hearings and the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, that she decides anonymously to write a letter to, guess who, an anti-Trump Dianne Feinstein. And that's where this whole thing begins.
Wow, wow. I mean, just the chronology of what you lay out there, and which you really brought a lot of clarity to what we're talking about to me. I have to tell you, I mean, just do the math. So again, how is it that people who support her can't hear what you're saying? Because what you just laid out there is unequivocally a direct evidence as to what the motives were. Let's talk about motive here a moment, please. Motive, possible motive. I mean, what you just laid out is a clear motive as to what she's trying to accomplish here. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you know, and then, yes, you're right. And then the thing that really bothered me yesterday, and unfortunately it's after I wrote my column. So now she's got two or three GoFundMe accounts where I saw just late last night that she had over $600,000 combined. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to throw economic incentive as motive, and that needs to be placed into the investigation as well, because she wasn't doing very well as a psychological scientist researcher in Palo Alto. Her life going into the future is being fully funded. And if we are to believe her legal team, they're doing this pro bono, so she doesn't owe any money to them.
Right. Yeah, that came up in the trial as well. They said that at least. But then again, there were pictures circulating on the web. I don't know if you've seen this, Ron, but where one of the politicians, I forget her name there, but she came out and was handed an envelope to the attorney. Did you see that?
Oh, I did. As a matter of fact, I put it on our forensic computers and slowed it down and enhanced it. That looked like a thick envelope to me. It looked like an envelope that was big enough to hold money. And that's what I can tell you factually. But I won't speculate on what was inside that envelope.
And it was very much the way she hid it down. It was clearly secretive. She did it right in the middle of the open of the room. Didn't realize it was a camera on.
Well, the other thing is that it was to a member of her legal team.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's that all about? And that's something that becomes, thank you for bringing that up, that becomes part of the investigation as well.
But nobody's talking about it from high up, though, Ron. I don't hear anything about that.
No, you know, one of the things that we look at as investigators, as we look at, you know, the temporal relationship of why the victim suddenly comes forward when there were many opportunities to come forward before, and then you also want to reconcile what this woman says in comparison to behavior. So a real simple example is, I'm so traumatized, PTSD, this was a horrible thing for me. I've had this thing all throughout my life. It's bothered me all through my life. Well, okay, I'll give you 1983 until 2012 when you first brought it up to a therapist, but you didn't identify anybody. But you're 100% sure that it was Kavanaugh, and you had a wonderful opportunity given repressed memories or whatever baggage you say you have, mm-hmm. and you told your therapist, but that was the opportunity to identify your assailant. Not only did you not identify your assailant to your therapist, who was going to hold this in confidence, but you had another opportunity to identify this to the lawful authorities in Maryland, which legally had the jurisdiction to investigate, and you did not do that.
Mm-hmm. In your professional experience, all the evidence being the same, in this particular case, if you remove the political pieces from it and, again, the stakes, would this case have any chance in hell of getting anywhere?
No, absolutely not. And let me tell you why. And as I said in the article, we have various standards of investigative and legal proof that we have to establish in order to do certain things. This particular hearing is not a criminal trial, like everybody says. And so we don't use reasonable suspicion or probable cause. We use something referred to as a preponderance of evidence. In other words, evidence that is supported and goes beyond 50%. Okay, a preponderance over 50%. Malcolm, I don't even see as much as 5% of supported, corroborated evidence in this case. This wouldn't even see, if this was a civil case, there would be a motion for summary judgment. It wouldn't even get through the courtroom doors, because who are your witnesses?
They've all said they weren't there.
No witnesses have been established.
Yeah, they say they're not there. It never happened, is what they're saying. They don't know what she's talking
about. What you have is two involved parties. You have the complainant, and then you have the accused. But every single person that she has identified has denied any involvement or any knowledge. These are people she identified, and even her friends.
To me, the biggest culprit here, Dr. Ron, is that they've now flipped that on its head, and you're no longer innocent until proven guilty. They want Kavanaugh to prove that he was innocent and not there. This is mind-boggling to me.
Well, you know, the thing that is so scary for me as a person that defends people's civil rights every day as an investigator, and Malcolm, you know that as a forensic expert, I work all sides, okay?
That's right.
I don't have any advocacy for people whatsoever. I'm a facts and evidence guy like everybody on my team.
That's right.
And by the way, every single law enforcement and forensic investigator that I've spoken with, including several members of my team who are probably some of the best forensic investigators in the nation, we're all of the same opinion. What are we doing here? But the other thing that is so scary, and Americans should be scared about, is the very people that are the politicians that create our laws and are in power to protect us have totally usurped the Constitution. And if they can do this to a person with a stellar background like Judge Brett Kavanaugh, they can do it to guys like Ron Martinelli and Malcolm Out Loud.
Yeah, see, that's so well said, buddy. So well said. You know, the one thing I know about you, Dr. Ron, and everybody should know about you, is that you are always a truth seeker. And I've never known you to pull the wool over any point or anybody's eyes. And so if this was reverse, you would be telling me that. I know you enough to know. You would be saying, Malcolm, there's not a chance in hell he has. He is guilty as anything, and he should get off of that. That's what you would tell me.
Civil rights are the most important thing we have in the United States. And if we have no civil rights, then we do have Alana Friedman refers to as a banana republic.
That's it. We've done the full circle, buddy. We are at a point of a banana republic. People, I want you to think about all of this. No, whatever your political stripe is, again, I invite everybody into these conversations. I want everybody at the table here, friends. That's what we want. But we want people to understand where the truth is, what I refer to often as the out loud truth. I'm willing to take it any way it comes, as long as it's the real truth, people. That's what I'm after here. And that's what this program is all about. Tremendous, tremendous thank you always to our friend and expert here, Dr. Ron Martinelli, and all of our experts here on the program today. I'll tell you, this program is a joy, and the reason it has grown as much as it is because of our expert analysis and the people we have associated with this platform, which are truly, truly amazing. Viewpoint, the Midweek Report, you'll catch on Wednesday, 6 p.m. now. This is an amazing thing. We've launched it a couple of weeks ago because of the success of our Sunday program. And now you get Viewpoint in the middle of the week, the Midweek Report. Wednesday, 6 p.m. and Encore at 10. Please join us there. Friends, thank you for being part of this conversation or this journey here. And we welcome you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. In fact, you can email us at talk@AmericaOutLoud.com. We'd love to hear from you, friends. Please remember, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.